2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, a very familiar verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what we need today. But it starts with us. Amen. I want to talk to us today about this subject, America at the crossroads. America at the crossroads. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to do something different. We're going to work in a couple of videos today. And the technology team is working hard. Hopefully everything flows together. I kind of sprung it on them at the last minute. But right now, I'm going to show you a video. And first, we're going to hear from Brother David Bernard, the General Superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. And then there's another information about your involvement and the importance of voting. Amen. So let's look at that right now. Hopefully everything will go good. You know, politics is not a dirty word. Politics is not a dirty word. The definition of politics is governmental authority over a particular land. It deals with elections and laws that determine how we live. And government operates within a system of parties and issues and laws and people, agendas and more. That and you got to remember, that is not good or bad in itself. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Another translation will put it like this: all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So make no mistake, God has all authority. He has all power, and our Lord is in control. Amen. And he exercises his authority through us as his body here on this earth. When a nation ignores the fact that his authority is over all, then there is a void that is created, and it is quickly filled with evil, and evil corrupts. Because of this, politics has become a dumpster collecting a lot of trash. I said it, yes. And really, a lot of people look at it like that, look at politics like that. And we as Christians, we tend to want to run from politics, hoping to avoid the stench, hoping to avoid the stench of corruption, of evil, of man's agendas. But imagine with me today a house that is on fire. This house is on fire, and Christians are the firemen. We are to fight the fire. We are to save the trapped people in the house. This is the salvation for those people. This is the gospel. It is our job. It's what we've been called to do. We're not to run from the blaze. No, we're to run to the fire to help those people who are trapped inside. But too many of us are running from the fire because we don't want anything to do with it. Let somebody else stand for truth. Let someone else take on this battle. Let someone else fight the fight. And the fact is that today in America, fires of corruption are doing their best to take over. But there is an army, 60 plus million Christians who are eligible to vote. And we have the right and we have the duty, and I believe the God-given calling to vote, to vote. As Christians, many believe that, well, it's somebody else's job to get involved, someone else's responsibility. Some Christians think, well, we shouldn't be involved in politics at all. They even teach that the Bible prohibits us from being involved in politics. But that is a deception by the enemy to keep Christians from expressing their governmental and God-given, God-ordained authority. You see, America is a unique governmental system. It's very unique. It's of the people, by the people, and for the people. And when we hand our authority over to people who reject God, they indoctrinate our children, they divide our communities, and they destroy our godly heritage. And that is exactly what we are seeing in the world today. And we have a calling, we have a job to stop that advance of sin. Colossians 2 and 8 tells us, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." As Christians, we should be after Christ. We should follow Christ. Amen. We should vote not as Republicans, not as Democrats, but as Christians. Amen. As Christians. Christians are God's agents in the world today. We should be working to accomplish His will and His purpose. I believe Christians should run for office. I believe Christians should register to vote. Christians, they should vote biblically. They should donate to candidates who follow biblical principles. Christians should oppose evil laws. Believe it or not, there are people that are evil in government, and they choose to enact evil laws. And I believe that Christians should oppose evil laws. We should be involved. We should write and call and email our representatives. We should vote those who are ungodly out of office. I believe that's what we're called to do. We should be representatives of Christian values in our world and in our political system. And America is at the crossroads today. I believe that this is one of the most important elections that we have ever seen. And the way we go as a nation, it largely depends on Christians being involved and making their voice heard. We can't let someone else take on this responsibility. It's our duty. It's our job. It's our calling to be the light of the world. And one way we can do that is through the electoral process, in which we have a right to express ourselves. So, you know, every year I always have somebody, I don't think I've had anybody ask me this year, but usually somebody says, "Well, Pastor, how do I need a vote? Who do I need to vote for? Who do I not need to vote for?" Well, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for and who not to vote for. Amen. That's up to you. That's up to you. And when you go into that voting booth, or when you mail in your ballot, or whatever it is that you do, and however you vote, just make sure you vote. But you need to vote according to your heart, and you need to vote according to your morals and principles and the guidelines that God would have for you. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. You're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to research yourself. But some people say, well, the Bible tells us not to even vote, not to even get involved. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. There is no authority but that is from God." I'm thankful for our beloved Pledge of Allegiance that boldly states that we are under God. We are under God. Amen. I believe that. And I'm thankful that there's a strong movement in our nation to keep things under God. In spite of those who would like to remove those words from anything to do with America, Christians need to stand and declare that we are a nation that is founded upon Christian principles, and that we should stay that way. We should stay a nation under God. Exodus 18:21, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens." They voted in the Old Testament for their leaders, and we should vote for our leaders today. There were different levels of representation. Some were over thousands, some over hundreds, some over fifties, some over tens. And today there's different levels of representation. There's local leaders, there's national leaders, and many times people think, well, an election, it's just about president. It's just about who's going to be president and vice president, but there's many local issues that are determined in our elections, and our local government leaders, our state representatives, our state government, our senators, our representatives, all of those are chosen by elections. It's very important that we make our voice heard as Christians. Now, if God has all authority. It says, we read, for there's no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained by God. And so if God is the one that chooses who is elected and who is not, well, God does not physically come down from heaven and going to the voting booth and cast 1,000 ballots for that one and 1,000 for that one and 200,000. No, that's not how God does it. God uses people. God uses people to affect elections. And so I just want to be one that God uses this year. I don't know about you, but God used me to vote for someone who is going to represent the things of God. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 13 says, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Another word that could be used here is vote wise men or elect wise men and women. Your vote matters. Your vote matters. Not to vote is a vote for evil. Not to vote is a vote to not express our rights. Amen. To vote blindly without understanding the issues we are voting about, that's also concerning. I believe we should all make a study of who is running in an election and who is it that's up for vote here, and what do they believe and what do they stand for, what the party they represent stands for, and that we should vote considering God's moral values that we're to live by as Christians. Proverbs 29 and 2 is so true. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Psalms 33 and 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, I understand there are bad apples throughout all the political parties. That's just the case of life, okay? And that's sadly the case. There's bad apples everywhere. But there is some pretty clear evidence about the overall direction for political parties when it comes to those who are committed to upholding righteousness and those who aren't. And as Christians, I believe that we should vote for those who will legislate and govern according to biblical values. As I mentioned, there's many people, they'll say, Pastor, should we vote Republican? Should we vote Democratic? Should we vote third party? Who should we vote for? More than a political party, I believe we should be biblical voters. Biblical voters. And Christian voters. Amen. Christian voters. You see, Christian voters, we have a political party. And we have a political party platform. It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible. Amen. And when we adhere to the Bible and its unchanging principles, that sets us on the path to being a biblical voter. A lot of times politics is made out to be, well, it's the right versus the left. But biblical voters and biblical principles are about right versus wrong. That's what it should be. There are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. And we should align our vote to what's right in the Lord's sight. Frederick Douglass was an American social reformer, an abolitionist, orator, writer, and statesman. After escaping from slavery in Maryland, he became a national leader of the abolitionist movement, becoming famous for his speeches and anti-slavery writings. Frederick Douglass once said, I have one great political idea. The best expression of it I find in the Bible. It is in substance, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. This constitutes my politics. As Christians, as biblical voters, can we just be honest? In any election we get to vote for, If we were to vote for the best candidate, he's not even on the ballot, because that'd be our Lord Jesus Christ. He would be the best candidate. I'd like to see him in every office, but of course that's not possible. But if we can't in good conscience vote for the person who's running for office, then I believe that we should vote according to the positions that they embrace. Not for their personality, not for their looks, not for their ability to speak or to move a crowd. It should be what they stand for. let's get real. The next president of the United States of America and most of our other state and local government officials will be elected from one of two political parties. And there's some great differences between the two. It's not a secret what each of them stands for. It's no secret what agendas they both have, because both the Republican and Democratic parties have published their platforms. And the power of party platforms is that those members belonging to parties vote according to their party platform a very high percentage of the time. So I encourage you to go and read these political party platforms. Many people have never done that. They've never done that. But I encourage you to go and read these political party platforms, because it's easy to see what each party stands for. And more than what's seen in the media or on Facebook or on Twitter or more than what political pundits say and how each side portrays their ideas, the political party platform is quite revealing as to what politicians are actually going to do. There's some amazing contrast between the two party platforms, and I'm not telling you who to vote for, but there are some contrast here. One party mentions the Bible, the other does not, in their political party platform. One political platform mentions divine, the other does not. One mentions creator, the other does not. One mentions prayer, the other does not. One mentions sing, the other does not. One mentions praise, the other does not. One mentions pastors, the other does not. One mentions preaching, the other does not. One mentions bipartisan, the other does not. One mentions fathers, the other does not. One mentions traditional family, the other does not. One mentions traditional marriage, the other does not. One mentions strong families, the other does not. One mentions religious liberty, the other does not. One political party platform mentions morality, the other does not. One mentions sanctity of human life, the other does not. One mentions one mentions the Declaration of Independence, the other does not. One says, God bless America, the other does not. One party platform mentions the Bible three times, the other zero times. One party mentions Christians eight times and Muslim one time. The other party mentions Christians one time and Muslim eight times. One party platform mentions God 15 times and LGBTQ zero times. The other platform mentions God just one time and LGBTQ 26 times. One party says that our First Amendment rights are not given to us by our government, but they are rights that we possess. The other doesn't. One party platform pledges to safeguard religious institutions and their practices from governmental control. The other doesn't. One party platform supports the appointment of judges who represent the tradition of family values and sanctity of innocent human life. The other does not. And one party platform defines marriage exclusively between one man and one woman. The other does not. So which party should we be for? Which party should we be for? The bottom line is, we're not to be for the right. We're not to be for the left. We're not to be Republican. We're not to be Democrat. We're not for the elephant. We're not for the donkey. We are for the Lamb. We are for the Lamb. We are for Jesus Christ. We are for the Word of God. We're for biblical principles and values. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that God has a hand on this election. And I believe that His will be done. But I believe that we as Christians should vote. We should align ourselves with those who represent our faith. Here's four rules to being a biblical voter. Align ourselves with those who represent our faith. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Secondly, I believe we should read the party platforms. They can be long, they can be confusing to read, but it's essential to know for what each party proposes for our nation. Amen. They can say one thing, but you need to see what does their party stand for, because that's what we're voting for. Number three, know the difference between the parties. If we're going to go cast a vote, we need to know what we're voting for. We need to know, and we should know. But it's our job to know the party platforms, to know the difference between the two parties. We can't separate our faith from how we vote. In fact, faith gets put into action when we vote. Number four, vote for the platform, not the candidate. Candidates are obligated to follow the party platform, and for this reason, the platform of the party is generally more important than the candidate and whatever promises they make. Sometimes you hear the phrase, we'll vote straight ticket. It's because you know what the party values are. You know what's stated in their platform, and generally those candidates aligned with that party will follow that platform. And so we should know who's running. We should know what positions they take and their moral stand. We should, above all, we should pray for God's direction. Amen. We should counsel with others, and sometimes we do have to consider what is the lesser of two evils. I understand that, but we should vote and make our voice as Christians heard in our political system. And so I believe today that America is at the crossroads. I don't know what the future all holds. God knows that. But I believe we are seeing it today. We are seeing our nation divided as never before. We are seeing political turmoil. We are seeing chaos in cities. We are seeing trouble and problems on every hand. America is at the crossroads. And I believe that through all of this, God has a plan. God has a plan, and I believe his plan includes revival in the last days. And so the Lord knows what's going to happen, and the Lord knows the path forward. But I will tell you this, whether or not whoever is president in January when they transfer and have the inauguration, there we go. And at the inauguration, whoever is the president there, it does not matter. God's will is going to go forward, and so God knows that. But through this, I believe we're going to have revival, and I believe the church is going to grow, and we're going to see great things happen. And so I want the Lord's will to be done, even in our vote. And so God direct us, God help us, and God let your will be done. I want to show another video right now. It's called An Appeal to Heaven by David Barton of Wall Builders, and I believe this will be a blessing to you.
Sitting on the sidelines, particularly with regard to what goes on in our government. almost a year before the Declaration of Independence, George Washington stepped up as an individual and personally commissioned six cruisers. Of course, those six ships from George Washington weren't much compared to the scores of ships in Britain's Navy, but that's what we have. And back then, all the ships in a nation's Navy flew their flag openly and visibly so that their fellow ships could avoid the friendly fire and not sink wrong ships. So the British had their flag, but not the Americans. We're brand new. We don't even have a national flag yet. So how are we going to recognize our fellow ships? No problem. We'll create our first flag. And according to official records, it was a flag with a white background, a pine tree in the middle, and it included the motto, Appeal to Heaven. This was our first flag, and it flew on our Navy. A year later, after the Declaration was signed, the state of Massachusetts built its own state Navy, and this was also adopted as the official flag for their Navy. And then the Massachusetts Army adopted a flag for its ground forces, and they had a similar motto, an appeal to God. As these official mottos and declarations and flags indicate, we openly relied on God, but we didn't stop there. That was just the first step. As John Hancock had urged, we prayed and we acted. This same combination of prayer and action remained a no-brainer for American Christians for generations afterwards. In fact, a century and a half after the Revolution, Teddy Roosevelt penned this book, Fear God and Take Your Own Part. As Teddy explained, but in addition to fearing God, it is necessary that we should be able and ready to take our own part. The man who cannot take his own part is a nuisance in the community, a source of weakness, an encouragement to wrongdoers, and an added burden to the men who wish to do what is right. If he cannot take his own part, then somebody else has to take it for him. There is no reason that God-fearing Christians should be a burden to anyone else, especially to the nation in general. We need to step up and carry our weight. As God-fearing people, we have a voice, and we also have overwhelming numbers. But if we continue to remain silent and uninvolved, we'll have no one to blame for the godless outcome but ourselves. We need to recruit good people to run for office, or even run for office ourselves. We need to speak out about what's going on around us, but we absolutely, definitely, unequivocally must vote. That's not optional. Voting is not a right, it's a duty. And we will answer to God for what we do or what we don't do with our vote. So we do have to appeal to God, but we also have to take action. And now is the time that we must get involved.
Amen. Would you stand with me in closing today? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And we're going to pray in this place today. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our elected officials. We're going to pray for these elections that are happening on Tuesday. If you've not already voted, I challenge you, make sure you get to vote on Tuesday. Amen. Make your voice heard. But we're going to pray for these elections, and we're going to pray for our government. We're going to pray for our nation as a whole, and we're going to ask that God's will be done. We're going to ask that God would lead us and direct us, that God would touch us. And here in our local community, there's elections that will decide many, many positions in our local area that will have an impact on us. We've seen how officials will respond in times of crisis like this year. If you don't like it, you have the right to vote them out. Amen. That is our right, and I believe it is our duty to be involved with the political system, as not as the right, not as the left, not as Republicans, not as Democrats, but as Christians, that we have a duty to uphold the things that God has called us to and challenged us to, and to remain a Christian nation. I believe that God is calling us this year, amen, to be involved in, and I believe He's going to lead us and direct us. And so we're going to pray. We're not going to pray that the vote will go a certain way or not. That the Lord's got that in control. But we're going to pray that God's will be done. And we're going to pray for unity in our nation. And we're going to pray for God's blessing upon our nation, that he would continue to help us to be a foundation for revival all around the world. Isn't it awesome that because of the blessings on the United States of America, the North American church has been able to be a major funder of revival and missionaries that have carried the gospel all around the world. I want to see that continue to happen. Amen. I don't want to see the nation of the United States be destroyed. I don't want to see it change to where we can't operate and facilitate our religious freedoms. That's not what we want. We want that to continue, and even more so because we've got to have revival. And so today we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask a couple of people to lead us in prayer, and we're going to do a couple of things here right now. But overall, I wonder if we could just as one, can we pray, God, let your will be done this year in this election, and let your purpose go forward in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that your will would be done in our nation. We pray that your will would be done in our local area. Lord God, we turn to you. We turn to you right now. We humble ourselves. Lord, we pray and we seek your face. We realize today that we cannot make it on our own, but that we need your power and strength, and we need your help. Oh God, we pray that you would hear from heaven. We pray that you would forgive us of our sin. We pray that you would heal our land, oh Lord, and that your blessing would be upon our nation. I pray, God, that you would bless us in the work of revival. I pray that you would let the United States see greater revival than what we have ever seen before, and help us, Lord, to carry the gospel even more throughout the world. We give you the praise and the glory and the worship for it, Lord. Let your will be done. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to take this scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us here today. Has anybody been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? You are called by his name. And just real quickly, and I've not even given notice to these, so I don't want to be nervous, but just pray. But we're going to pray for a couple of these things. First of all, if we'll humble ourselves. Sister McCoy, I wonder if you just pray a prayer where we humble ourselves before the Lord right now. Would you just lead us in that right now? Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If his people who are called by his name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, it says. There has to be a seeking of the will of God. There has to be a seeking of God's hand. There has to be a seeking for his attention. Lord, we need your attention. We need you to pay attention. We need your help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Caleb, I wonder if you just pray that. Lord, we need your attention. We're seeking your face. We're seeking your will and your blessing upon our nation right now. Would you just lead us in prayer right now? Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. Pray that your will be done and that your hand direct us and guide us, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray and seek his face, and if we will turn from our wicked ways. I believe there needs to be repentance, not only throughout the church, but there needs to repentance all throughout the nation of the United States. I believe we need to repent as a nation. There's some things that I believe we have allowed to come into our nation, to come into our government, that are evil, that are not right, and we need to repent. Amen. Brother Brandon, I wonder, can you just lead us in a prayer of repentance right now? And we, Lord, we turn from our wicked ways. We repent from those things. Would you just lead us right now? In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Lord, turn from our wicked ways. We repent. We repent, Lord. We understand that. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Come on, who knew that an election could cause somebody to turn towards God? Amen. Why don't we just do that all across the house? When you repent, it means you turn from your wicked ways. If you're doing something that's wrong, when you repent, you don't just say, okay, I'm sorry I got caught, and maybe next time I won't get caught. No, you turn from it, and you go the opposite direction. Come on, all across the house, why don't we repent? Lord, I repent of every sinful way. I repent for every sinful thing I've done. I repent for every sinful thing I've said. I repent for every sinful thought, Lord. I want to be right with you, Jesus. Lord, I don't want there to be anything in my heart that you're not pleased with, Lord. If there's anything like that, then Lord, I pray that you'd reveal it to us, and we repent of it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.